Welcome back to the ProSource Podcasters. I am your host, Mr. Nemolus Bruce. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Make sure that, if you haven't already, that you have subscribed to the podcast. It's available on all audio platforms. And drop us a review. It's always helpful. Now, baseball is around the corner. Opening day in North America is a week away as we record on this Wednesday night. It has started a week earlier in Asia. So without any further ado, it's time to bring back a friend of the show. You can find his work at The Fantasy Jones and at The Game Day. It is Mr. Frank Amirante. Frank, how you doing?
How's it going? Pleasure to be back on the show. Baseball's around the corner. We got a sneak peek with the Korea series to get us hungry for more. And now we got to wait a week, which sucks, but gives us to discuss.
Absolutely. They say a week is a long time in baseball, but this week can't go quick enough. I'm sure there are a few managers in Arizona and Florida that are hoping they can just get through the next few days without any injuries or nagging inflammations that might, cause a need to look at MRIs. I think you know what I'm hinting at there. Frank, what's the off-season been like for yourself as not only a writer but also a follower of baseball?
Well, it's been entertaining to say the least. You know, we had hopefulness as Blue Jays fans for a little bit that they may have had a chance on Shohei Ohtani, and then that didn't work out. And then, there's been a flurry of signings lately, especially, Blake Snell to the Giants. And it's just, I'm hyped for the season, I've finished most of my fantasy baseball drafts, been putting out content at The Game Day, and it's an exciting time for sure.
Absolutely. And there is a lot to look forward to coast to coast. We'll get back to the Blue Jays in a moment, but do you want to talk about Shohei Ohtani? There's a little bit going on at the moment that's not necessarily related to him on the diamond. Do you have a feeling about that, or is it still too early?
Well, I would say it's definitely like a pretty crazy story, but honestly, I feel like, nothing will really happen to Ohtani regarding this, but I mean, we got to let it play out. But that's just my hunch, is that I wouldn't see any suspension for Ohtani, even though like I joke about it on Twitter, posting a little bit of memes about it. But yeah, I think he should be in the clear. That's my hunch, but we'll see.
Indeed. As many a writer said, Ohtani going to the Dodgers is allegedly good for baseball. So I guess
that was annoying when they kept saying that.
Yeah, a few of those guys are eerily quiet at the moment, but maybe that's just me. Now, just switching back to the Six and the Blue Jays, as you touched on, they did seemingly take a swing at Ohtani in December. They didn't get him, but they did make a couple of acquisitions offensively through Justin Turner, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and I guess the Canadian heritage moment that is Joey Votto. What do you see for them, not only as a fan, but also from a fantasy perspective this season?
Well, for one, obviously not getting Ohtani was disappointing, and it was frustrating to see them just not really make any alternative sort of splash move, like not going after even Jorge Soler or even JD Martinez, who signed shortly before we were recording this with the Mets. I mean, I think he would be a little bit better than Justin Turner, but I do like the Justin Turner signing. He still, has great plate discipline. He's a good veteran in the clubhouse. But to sum it up, it was overall a frustrating offseason because, this is a contending team. We've had consecutive frustrating postseason exits for the Blue Jays. So you would have hoped for a little bit more. Having said that, I am still hopeful that they'll be a playoff team. For one, last season, the offense really disappointed. I don't believe that the roster as currently constructed is as bad as the offense was last year. Like, there's too much talented bats here for it to be as poor as we saw in 2023. And, you know, a lot of their hitters had down years at the same time last season. Vlad Jr. didn't perform below expectations. Dalton Varsho was a disappointment. Alejandro Kirk had a really down year compared to his previous season. So I think you'll just see improvement because those three players will go back to career norms and have better years. I mean, Varsho and Kirk look great in spring. So even though the roster looks worse, the lineup on paper, I think you'll see offensive improvement just for, you know, the hitters with somewhat of a track record getting back to, you know, like I said, career norms. They should be a playoff team, but I just wish that the front office showed a little bit more urgency in trying to make the move to put the team over the hump because, you know, it's not a given that we're going to re-sign Bichette and Vlad Jr. So I would like to see more aggression, but we'll see how it plays out maybe at the deadline.
Yeah, and to that end, with just on the deadline, they did trade away Santiago Espinal to Cincinnati for minor league pitcher Chris McIlvain. There is a bit of a saving in terms of the salary cap. Hopefully, they go ahead and make some moves at the deadline that can augment the roster, as you say, because the last couple of deadlines have been a little bit quiet from the Blue Jays side of things, but in my opinion, I think last year was a big whiff. It's not often you get the Red Sox and the Yankees both slumping. And then you had the Rays with their injuries.
Yeah.
And you had the Orioles with a comparatively tight ownership. They've now changed hands to an ownership group that is going to swing for the fences. They've already traded for Corbin Burns. They have one of the best farm systems in baseball, but they're also going to get free agents. They want to make a splash. So I do wonder if the Blue Jays window of opportunity has passed. And you did mention that there should be some offensive regression. Yes, I'm using the word regression because statistically regression goes both ways. And
yeah.
I think the hitting does improve this year. I do have concerns with the rotation. I mean, Kevin Gausman's slated to miss the first series or two as they ramp him up for 2024. What do you see with the Blue Jays defensively this season?
Yeah, so that's a great point you make about the rotation because, and it goes back to what you're saying of how they were too risk-averse at the deadline because you look at their rotation last year, they barely had, what, any injuries. Like, Gausman stayed healthy. Berrios stayed healthy. Bassett, Kikuchi did well. Most seasons, you're going to be dealing with pitcher injuries. Like, lots of teams deal with that. So the Blue Jays sort of wasted a year where they got fortunate with their pitchers staying healthy. Now, this year, you know, at least they have, you know, top prospect Ricky Tiedemann waiting in the wings. Like, should there be an injury and they need a boost to the rotation. And, you know, it's later in the year where they've managed Tiedemann's innings, maybe they'll call him up. That's the other thing. I feel like they're a little bit too cautious with their prospects. Like, this team, as currently built, could win a World Series. So I want to see some more aggression, not only with trading to make a move to address a need, but also to giving a young prospect a chance. Like, Ricky Tiedemann right now, I would prefer to see him in the rotation immediately over... I know Bowden Francis has looked good, but you got to give your young prospects a shot. Same goes, I know you asked about the run prevention, the pitching and defense, but even with Aurelvis Martinez, their young bat who can help out, I'd rather see them call him up. But to answer your question and sum it up, I do think the rotation will be strong. It just, I don't think you could bank on the same sort of health that we saw last season. We're already seeing it even in the bullpen with Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson banged up. Hopefully they're okay. But to sum it up, I want to see more urgency with the prospects as well, like Tiedemann.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Because the last couple of years, as you said, the Blue Jays have been fortunate with the rotation staying healthy. They've been one of the more durable staffs in the league. Knock on wood for Toronto that stays the same, but past performance does not indicate future results. So you got to be careful with that one. And it all, exactly. all takes one or two guys going down, and you have a very, very thin starting lineup. And then you're looking at openers and,
yeah,
dare I say, Mitch White. But let's lift the mood. Let's lift the mood. You're in New York recently. You went to a, I guess, what you call it, a giant fantasy draft for baseballers. How would you describe it?
Well, this is a set of industry fantasy baseball leagues. It's called Tout Wars. So a lot of content creators from, you know, prominent websites like RotoWire, RotoWorld, Yahoo Sports, a lot of, you know, creators that if you're in fantasy baseball, you're into it. Even as a fan, you've probably heard of some of these names. And it was an honor to be invited my second year in a row. It's just a good time to meet other fantasy baseball writers, including some that I've, you know, listened to as a, even before I started creating my own content. So definitely it was an honor to go there. And of course, anytime you get to visit New York, it's a lot of fun. So I had a good time. I was in the, a head-to-head auction league, and it was on base percentage instead of batting average. And it's for those who've never tried an auction fantasy baseball or any fantasy sport league, it is fun because you're able to just bid on any player you want rather than, like, you're not beholden to your draft pick. For example, if you're in your fantasy baseball league this year and you have the fifth pick, you're not getting Ronald Acuna because he goes one every time. But if you really wanted him and you're in an auction, it gives you that opportunity to take to bid on whoever you like. So it is fun. I would encourage those who haven't tried to give it a shot.
Absolutely. I co-signed that. I partially co-signed that. I haven't done a fantasy baseball auction, but I've played fantasy baseball. Can confirm it is fun. And I'm currently doing a fantasy football auction for the coming NFL season. So
nice.
That is also fun. So we'll definitely recommend. Frank is definitely speaking the truth there. Now, I have to ask, this is not fantasy related, but when you're in New York, what was your go-to in terms of food? What is some top foods that you had that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, of course, anytime you go to New York, you know, you love the pizza. There's so many different places you could go to there. You know, I went to this, well, one of my friends who writes with the Game Day with me took me to a popular place called Junior's, and they have great cheesecake there. We also, you know, my friend of mine who was on the trip is all a big foodie, and he was just searching any popular places and had this really good burger. So, you know, you can't go wrong. So many good foods. That's, I love when I go on trips and just eat all kinds of different foods. So definitely lots to try out in New York.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's everyone who goes there tells me that it's like a foodie heaven, and there's diversity in terms of options. So I'm compiling a list, and I'm definitely gonna have to get into that when I get across there. Now, going back to fantasy drafts, I know a lot of folks who have existing fantasy baseball leagues have probably already drafted, but for casuals like myself who are coming to the party late, what are some trends that you saw from Tout Wars or some things that we should be looking out for this fantasy season?
Well, I could speak to some players that a lot of, you know, fantasy baseball creators really like. Like, there's some certain players that it just seems like everyone likes. One of them is Gleyber Torres on the Yankees. You know, he showed a lot of improvements at the plate last year, really trimmed down his strikeout rate. And one thing I like targeting is players in contract years, and Gleyber Torres is in a contract year. So he's highly motivated to, you know, have close to a career year and get that payday. And of course, the Yankees adding Juan Soto really bolsters that lineup. Torres is likely hitting, you know, in the 4 or 5 hole. And then you got like two on-base machines like Soto and Judge in front of him. You could see a lot of RBI opportunities for Torres there. So that's one player that I really like to try to target in every draft. If in terms of contract years, others who are in one, Corbin Burnes with the Baltimore Orioles, you know, obviously he's a household name, so he's pretty much goes in the second round or first round every year. But this year in particular, I think he could have a big season because if you recall, he was unhappy in Milwaukee last year, clearly wanted out. So, of course, that could take, you know, a toll on an athlete. Like, they don't want to be in a place. They may not perform at their highest level. So now joining a potential, you know, playoff contender, even World Series contender in the Orioles in a contract year, I think Corbin Burnes is headed for a huge season. It wouldn't shock me to see him win AL Cy Young. In fact, if I have to pick a pitcher to win AL Cy Young, it would be Corbin Burnes.
Oh, okay. Betting talk. I'm going to put some betting talk. I'm making notes as I speak. Having played fantasy football for a number of years, there's definitely something to be said about guys in the contract year, especially guys at key positions. So I can totally identify with gentlemen like Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto and others. Just going back to bets, do you have any other futures that you want to share with us for the coming season?
Sure. Okay, I got one here. I did tweet it out, but I loved it that much. It's so CJ Abrams on the Washington Nationals. I bet on him to lead the league in stolen bases. So last season, CJ Abrams had 47 steals, but 38 of those 47 steals for CJ Abrams came from July 1st onwards. So he was running at a pace of like 66 steals for the season. The Nationals just let him run wild. And that surge in stolen bases coincided to when CJ Abrams was bumped to the leadoff spot. So he's going to be leading off all year, Abrams is, because one, the Nationals are rebuilding. Two, Abrams is one of their best young players as one of the key returns in the Juan Soto trade. You know, Washington's going nowhere. These teams that are just out of it pretty much from day one, they just run wild on the base paths. And I think we'll see that with Abrams. Now, when I bet on this, I posted this at the beginning of the month, March 2nd. I got it at Bet365. It was 16-1. But it's gone down considerably to around, I think, 8-1. But I still like it there because, you know, that torrid pace I mentioned for Abrams. Plus, you know, Ronald Acuna, even though he's healthy and he's going to be ready opening day, he's a bit banged up with that knee. Maybe he's a little more cautious. So that just makes me really like CJ Abrams as a value pick to lead MLB in stolen bases.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing that we have the stolen base coming back into vogue. That rule change.
Love that, yeah.
The pitch clock was needed, and it's breathed new life into the game. I'm not going to say I'm an Atlanta fan, but I am an Alex Anthopoulos fan. Should we be worried about Acuna? It seems like when he gets little niggles like this, it can turn into a long layoff. Should we be concerned, in your opinion?
I think when it was first happening, where there was more uncertainty surrounding Acuna's injury, you know, when the reports, they were still checking in on it, I was a little more worried. But now that we've gotten clarity that Acuna will be ready opening day, you know, if you're in a fantasy baseball league, I would still take Acuna first overall. In terms of the Braves, remaining as World Series contenders, yeah, I think they're definitely really deep. They got such a stacked roster. I will say, like, it'll be really tough for Acuna to come close to what he did last year. That was just video game type of numbers. But I still think you should see a big season from Acuna this year.
All right. Now, going to the other end of the scale, going to the defensive side, are we going to see a season at all from Gerrit Cole? I know the Yankees have come out and said 1 or 2 months, but coach speak is coach speak. Do you think we see him play?
Well, if I have to pick, I think we will see him play. I think instead of his usual, like, close to 200 innings, we might see around 100 or 90 or something like that. So if you're in a fantasy baseball league and you're able to stash players on the injured list, you could still take Cole, but make sure he falls considerably in your draft because, you know, even though they've gotten some optimism. This is still nerve inflammation in his right elbow. Anytime you hear anything with the elbow, you have to be concerned for a pitcher, even like Gerrit Cole. So from fantasy, I'm probably, unless he falls like to the last couple rounds, I'm not even going to bite. I'm not even going to draft Gerrit Cole. But as for a real life perspective, you know, even if he comes back, will it take him some time? Will it take Cole time to get back to his regular form? You know, these are all questions that add to the risk within taking him. The Yankees definitely need him because they got an injury. They got a rotation filled with injury risks. And yeah, they badly need Cole to pitch. I would say he does, but at a considerably reduced workload. I think he'll be back maybe mid-June. That's my guess.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll watch that space. Now, just from a fantasy perspective, because I approach this with my football hat on, so it's a little bit different where a starting pitcher is usually once every four or five games. So does this help or does it hinder the rest of the starters, like Stroman and Carlos Rodon? What does it mean for them in fantasy? Does it affect them at all or not really?
That's an interesting question because it could, I think you could argue that it could affect the other pitchers in the Yankees rotation in terms of, you know, the Yankees just lost their clear-cut ace, and he's not only an ace, but he's an innings eater. Like, he's among the league leaders in innings pitched. So you may see the Yankees allow some of their pitchers to go a little, to pitch a couple more innings, which would be good for fantasy because they have more opportunities for wins, more chances to rack up strikeouts. So if, let's say, Carlos Rodon or Marcus Stroman or Nestor Cortez are doing well, they may not, you know, hold back the reins as much as they would if Gerrit Cole were healthy, because you don't want to deplete your bullpen all year. Like, it's a very questionable rotation. So the ones who are more proven, they'll have to, you know, the Yankees will have to rely on them a little more. So I think you could bump up maybe projections for some of those innings for the other veteran starters. Not to say to go overboard, but maybe to a slight degree of increase for innings pitch projections.
Okay. Okay, all right. Noted. Duly noted. Yeah, I'm just happy that baseball's back. It means...
Yeah, same.
I like basketball. Football is obviously king on weekends during the fall season, but baseball means two things. One, winter is over. And two, life's good after 7:07 each night.
Exactly.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we've had a couple of meaningful games in the books with the Seoul series. The Dodgers and the Padres, they split. Is there anything that you can take away from those couple of games, or is it a bit of an outlier in terms of performances so far?
Well, the first thing I will say is don't overreact to the poor pitching performances from, you know, Tyler Glasnow or even Yoshinobu Yamamoto in his debut today. He only lasted, what, an inning? So if you took them in fantasy baseball, don't be like trying to get rid of them now, or don't be too discouraged. It's only one start. It's overseas. You know, I think I read briefly that there was the mound they weren't used to, some of the pitchers. I don't know. I didn't read too much into that, but that was a small tidbit I saw. So don't overreact to the poor pitching performances, one. And two, we can react to the Padres' bullpen hierarchy in terms of, because, you know, the Padres' closer, even though they've said Robert Suarez was in the lead, they did just sign a very promising reliever in Yuki Matsui. So some fantasy baseball players were like, oh, maybe it could be Matsui. Maybe he's better than Suarez. Well, we've seen the Padres use Matsui in the sixth and seventh inning, and Suarez came in for the save. So it adds some stability to Robert Suarez as an entrenched closer, and we know how volatile closers can be. So when you're drafting now, at least you can see comfort in knowing that, you know, Suarez is the clearly entrenched closer for the Padres. And lastly, I want to say is for San Diego, what we could take away is their young rookie, who I believe is only 20 years old, Jackson Merrill, has looked pretty good. Today he had two batted balls over 100 miles per hour, and he makes a lot of contact. So I think it's promising what we've seen. You don't want to overreact, but it is a good thing that to show that he belongs in the big leagues.
For sure. And, yeah, the Padres, they've definitely been through a lot the last 12 months. It is good to see some green shoots. I do feel like they are a club that is in transition, maybe potentially going through an identity crisis, trying to figure out who they are, what they're trying to do in the next couple of years. But it seems like they are moving in the right direction, if not a direction. Are there any franchises or, sorry, ball clubs we should be looking out for that might be flying under the radar in 2024?
That's a good question here. Let me see. Well, you know, maybe the Mariners' offense isn't great, but that rotation is just so stacked. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, Brian Wu, Bryce Miller, 1-5, that's highly impressive. And if, you know, their offense could do just enough, maybe they could be Dark Horse World Series contenders with that stacked rotation. You know, you mentioned the Padres. They've lost Juan Soto, but, I think they could still be a playoff team. And all you got to do is get in. We saw with Arizona and Texas in the World Series last year. Not many picked them to be there. So if you get in, anything could happen. So I would say, yeah, the Padres, don't count them out, and the Mariners could be quite dangerous.
There we go. And the Blue Jays will open up against the Mariners at home when they finish their first road trip. Their home opener is against the Mariners on April 8th at the Dome. So we'll get to see the likes of Julio Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing their talents across. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, Frank, I can't let you go without getting a little bit of football talk in. We've had the first wave of free agency. I guess the next wave will probably be after the draft in April, or maybe as teams go on the clock in late April. Were there some takeaways from some of the signings that we saw this March?
Well, for one, it was so entertaining, especially from a fantasy football perspective, because so many prominent running backs changed teams, you know, and a lot of them, I like the landing spots for them. You know, Josh Jacobs goes to a much better Packers offense than what he was dealing with the Raiders, and Jacobs should be, you know, obviously the heavy volume back, a lot of potential for him there. Aaron Jones even joining the Vikings. You know, Kevin O'Connell's a great coach. Even if they roll with Sam Darnold, or if they trade up and take J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, as has been rumored, I still think with O'Connell calling plays, they'll still be a good offense, and Aaron Jones, should do well. Of course, I can't neglect to mention Saquon Barkley on the Eagles with that offensive line, with Jalen Hurts opening up running lanes. Maybe the Eagles use the tush push a little less because now they have a bigger back like Barkley, who's just one of the most talented runners in the league. You know, there's just so many running backs that switch on. Even like, I'm a Commanders fan. I think Austin Eckler was a solid, you know, buy low. Maybe he could still be a contributor as a good pass catcher out of the backfield. He played through a high ankle sprain last year, which zapped his speed. Maybe he's not as cooked as he looked. You know, you see on Twitter all the time, it's posted, there's that Austin Eckler run where he had a big hole and he just looked really slow against the Packers, but he could have been playing hurt. So to sum it up, it's just really been the running backs. And even like Derrick Henry playing with Lamar Jackson, Henry should score a ton of touchdowns in that offense. So much really to talk about with the running backs.
100%. And even if Eckler isn't the fantasy point scoring machine that he has been of previous years, I hope he's still the anytime touchdown machine that he has been the last couple of seasons, because maddening, but awesome, amazing. You could just plug and play Eckler anytime touchdown and you just see it pop up, and it's a beautiful thing on Sundays.
Definitely. I think Eckler will, you know, split touches with Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson could handle the dirty work, the tough runs up the middle. Eckler could focus more as being a pass catcher, I think it'll be good for him. And as a Commanders fan, I think helping the incoming rookie quarterback who they take at second overall, I think it's a nice little cheap addition.
Indeed. Now, the Commanders are picking second in the draft behind one Chicago Bears, who have received their pick from Carolina, which is still quite the heist. And they seem to be building quite a offense, presumably for Caleb Williams. You'd think they'd be doing these moves, trading for Keenan Allen, signing DeAndre Swift to a big contract with the view of showing Caleb Williams that they are going to create quite an offense for him. What are your thoughts on the Bears as it stands?
Yeah, you got to love what they're doing. This is like, if you really think about it, this is one of the best situations a first overall quarterback has walked into. Like the Bears, you saw them down the stretch, their defense really improved, especially after trading for edge rusher Montez Sweat at the deadline from my Commanders. Like then you see the additions they made on offense that you mentioned, Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift, and even Gerald Everett, decent tight end who can make plays after the catch. It's a nice supporting cast, and Caleb Williams, hey, he's a highly touted prospect. It would not surprise me to see the Bears even win the NFC North in year one with Caleb Williams. That's more of a bold prediction. If a more of a reasonable one, I could see the Bears in the playoffs for sure. Like, it's a good roster, and they've done a good job this offseason, really improving the supporting cast for Williams.
100%. Yeah, I don't think it's that much of a stretch for the Bears to make the playoffs. I'm not saying it'll be on a similar trajectory to Houston and C.J. Stroud, but I do think Chicago wasn't that far off. I feel like Caleb
agreed.
Only needs to win maybe two or three more games than what they would have done with Justin Fields, and they're probably there.
Exactly. Yeah, because even last year, if you look at the Bears' record when Fields started, it was, I believe, around 500, if I'm not mistaken. Because, they finished 7-10, but in games with Fields, I believe it was around there. So, you know, they're definitely not that far off, and they've already improved.
Exactly. So, this could be the, I know it sounds like a broken record when it comes to the Chicago Bears. So this one could be the quarterback that turns things around, because I can't remember a Chicago Bears quarterback that's been successful since Smoking Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
In the day.
Yeah.
That was a time.
Exciting times for the Bears.
Indeed. And exciting times for you. Because you always have, I say this honestly, you always have nuggets on your timeline. So whether it be fantasy, whether it be betting, or just musings on sport in general, where can the good people find you on social media?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I'm glad you enjoy my Twitter content, and you summed it up perfectly. I always try to put out useful or entertaining nuggets. So the listeners could find me on social media at FAMMIRANTETFJ. I'm on Twitter. I started an Instagram and TikTok. We'll be posting more content there. And all of my written work is at thegameday.com. You could check out the site there. They're all the best recommendations of sportsbook promos and other fantasy or betting content is there. And anytime you interact with me on Twitter especially, I like to make sure to get back to everyone. Love talking sports. Love helping you out in fantasy or betting. And check me out there. And hey, it's been a pleasure being on the show tonight.
Indeed. We'll definitely have to get you back on as the football season evolves and as we get towards maybe the deadline in baseball. So great chat as always, Frank. It's been a pleasure to have you on. That was Frank Amarante, and I've been your host, Neolis Bruce, and this has been the Pro Sports Podcasters.